Hello and welcome to Empowerment. I'm Kelly Whetstone. Thank you for joining me today. It is 10 a.m. Pacific time on Tuesday, September 10th, 2024. C.A. Brooks will be joining me in just a few minutes. It is our second Tuesday of the month, Meeting of the Minds. And we've gotten, I think, the past couple months kind of messed up on our second Tuesday part, but I think we'll be back in a groove here. And if not, it doesn't matter. We talk to each other once a month, and it's always a show that I look forward to. So we will talk in just a minute. I just wanted to share a funny and interesting story. I think it's interesting. You may not. A really quick story. You know, I think it was February, because it was around Valentine's Day, when I would share stories about Channon, you know, and my experiences of him after he'd transitioned, and all the crazy things that happened. And, you know, after a while, it's been quiet. But I feel him, you know, I know he's around me. And probably just all of that stuff was big and funny and unmistakable, because he was letting me know, you know, that he's still here, which I knew he would be. But I wanted the experiences, and I got them. But this is kind of interesting. Like I said, I know he's around me. I see him a lot on my little digital frame, which is interesting because, as I've told you before, I see pictures of he and my mom, and they usually show up like in sequence with each other. So there are days when I see them a lot, and relatively speaking, of all the hundreds of pictures that I have in that frame, there are fewest of my mother and my and Channon. I mean, there just are. So it's really interesting that I see them a lot, and usually both at the same time. So I think they're both in there monkeying around with that frame. But anyway, this is the thing, and I've been meaning to tell this story. Probably a couple of years, a year and a half or a couple of years before he passed away, he lost his key to the front door and to our mailbox. And, you know, we looked everywhere, under furniture, in clothes, in the car. We looked everywhere. We turned the place upside down, and he ended up going over to Ace Hardware and got a key made for the front door, but they couldn't make another mailbox key because, you know, it just came from the manufacturer, and that's not what they do. So I have had the only key to the mailbox. So I put it on my set of keys. I always knew exactly where it was, and because if I lost that, I mean, we'd have to just take it off and destroy it. I guess the mailbox, it's like Fort Knox out there. And we only got a locking mailbox because it went with the style of the house. So, you know, it's not a security thing. It looks good on the outside of the house. But anyway, like I said, we turned the place upside down. And so, and that was, like I said, probably a year and a half, maybe 2 years before he passed away last December. A couple of weeks ago, I was going through one of the drawers in my buffet. I have a big old antique buffet, and I was looking for actually super glue. And I'm going through this drawer. It has, you know, big drawers, two doors where I have china and things like that, big drawers where I store tablecloths, napkins, and a zillion doilies from my grandma, and then these two small top drawers where I assume they probably originally were intended for silverware and cutlery. Well, one of those I have a pair of scissors in and tape, scotch tape and stuff like that. And so I was looking in that drawer for super glue. I get to the back of the drawer, and his keys are there on a little key ring in the back of that drawer. Now, I went through when I did, just when I was going through cleaning everything out, I went through that whole buffet because Because I had to get it organized mainly, because I'd gotten a bunch of stuff from my aunt, from my grandmother, and I just needed to get it organized. And I also needed to look at tablecloths and see what I use, what I don't use. And I go through stuff constantly, actually. But I went through every bit of that buffet and organized and got rid of stuff, and they were not in there. I know they weren't. And I thought, that is just the craziest thing. I really wonder where they've been for the past couple of years, and how they were just all of a sudden manifested in the back of that drawer. And the funniest thing about it is, I don't think ever, Shannon ever even looked in a drawer in the buffet. It wasn't something he would have done. And then we go on a hunt because he lost his keys. It's just crazy. And I'm just going to leave that with you because it's just one of those unexplained things. But anyway, somebody, I was telling my friend who does my hair, and she goes, "Well, they were, they weren't in there. They were just manifested in there. They just showed up. They just showed up." So I don't know. I don't know. But anyway, that was just something I wanted to share because it's been on my head and I keep forgetting. And I just think it's kind of a delightful story, an interesting story. So if anybody in the chat room knows where they were or can explain it, please do. Please do. I'd love to hear it. As I said, CA is with me today for our meeting of the minds for September 2024. We always have a great discussion, and you are invited to be a part of it. So please do join us in the chat room. Just go to 12radio.com and click chat. And please feel free to comment or ask questions in the chat room based on what we're talking about. We may or may not have time for readings or to address it during the show, but I'll look and I will send you something through the chat room after the show. If you would like a reading, you can find both of us on 12listen.com. I'm available every day, usually mid to later morning Pacific into the evening. If you stop by and don't see me, or if I'm busy, just schedule a call, put in a callback request. I'm notified immediately and I will get back to you as soon as I can. Thursday, this today, this week, Thursday today. pardon my voice, it's a little wonky today. Thursday is 1-2 day, our favorite day of the month when we have random reduced rates on calls and chats and special prices on time-based sessions and other services. I will be available Thursday about 10:30 a.m. Pacific into the evening with a brief break to pick up Grace from the groomer. Her hair due date fell on the 12th this month. I'll get her there before I sign on, but I'll have to leave for a minute. But I will be back and into the evening. I will have my 1-2 day replenish, 15-minute time-based session at a very special price for the day, and a discount coupon for $10 off the first You Empowered class on September 19th. And in fact, I will give you the code right now. It is three, number three, M as in Mary, V as in Victor, B as in boy, Q as in queen, H as in Harold. 3MVBQH. It will only be good through Thursday evening. And the first series of the You Empowered classes begins a week from Thursday on September 19th on 12 Academy. You can see class descriptions there, and I will put in the chat room the full class descriptions for everything beyond the first series. So I'd love to have you join me for class. It's all about empowerment. Truly, it's all about empowerment. I just want to say thanks again for being here today, and thank you for listening, however and whenever you do. There is programming 24/7 on 12radio.com, and you can find archives of all of the shows in the on-demand section at 12radio.com. So 12radio is a great source of information, inspiration, and support. So I encourage you to take advantage of that. Lots of different voices, lots of different passions, and that's the joy of it. I want to say thanks to Jay as I'm speed talking. First, I want to take a breath. Then I want to say thank you, Jay, for producing the show and for all that he does for us on 12 Radio, which is a lot, and I appreciate it very much. And as you know, I always am very glad to have C.A. Brooks on the show with me. C.A. is a 1-2-Listen advisor, a clairvoyant, astrologer, animal communicator. She's an avid student of A Course in Miracles, among many other things. She also writes the Week Ahead section of the Power Peak, Mark Husson's weekly newsletter. She hosts Everyday Astrology here on 1-2 Radio, which immediately precedes Empowerment Live every Tuesday at 9 a.m. Pacific. And she has podcasts of her Course in Miracles show available in the on-demand section at 12radio.com. I know how busy CA is, so I appreciate her doing the show with me every month. It is, it's just always a good show. It's just full of energy and different ideas, and that's the whole point. That's why it's called the Meeting of the Minds. We come from different backgrounds, we have different influences, and everything is welcome on this show. Everything, no matter where it comes from, is all welcome because it just adds to it. It rounds things out. And it's just wonderful to have another one to bounce stuff off of, you know, another person. So I really do appreciate you being here, CA. And I will have you join me in just a couple minutes after I start up, after I set up, I should say, the starting point of our discussion. So, what I want to talk about today is self-concept, a vast, vast subject. Reverend Dyke, and this is something I will never forget, Reverend Dyke said, no one can ever be greater than their own self-concept. And that's just something that's always in the back of my mind. You know, that's a great quote. That's a powerful, powerful quote. And I've been immersed in Neville Goddard's books for the past couple of weeks, past few weeks now. And he wrote a lot about self-concept. And really the bottom line the bottom line in my experience and in my understanding is that you are it. Each one of us is it. And everything in your world and in your experience is showing you what you believe. And that is incredibly empowering because no matter what that looks like, good, bad, or indifference, the only thing you have control over is you. Therefore, you can change anything. Anything. So Neville said, concept of self is all that you accept and consent to as yourself. So what I want to share with you right now, what I want to read is just a few paragraphs from the first couple of pages of his book, The Power of Awareness. Consciousness is one, manifesting in legions of forms or levels of consciousness. There is no one person that is not all that is. For consciousness, though expressed in an infinite series of levels, is not divisional. There is no real separation or gap in consciousness. I am cannot be divided. I may conceive myself to be a rich man, a poor man, a beggar man, or a thief, but the center of my being remains the same, regardless of the concept I hold of myself. I am is that which, amid unnumbered forms, is ever the same. This is the great discovery of cause. This great discovery of cause reveals that, good or bad, man is actually the arbiter of his own fate. And that is his concept of himself that determines the world in which he lives. And his concept of himself is his reactions to life. When you know that consciousness is the one and only reality, conceiving itself to be something good, bad, or indifferent, and becoming that which it conceived itself to be, you are free from the tyranny of second causes, free from the belief that there are causes outside of your own mind that can affect your life. In the state of consciousness of the individual is found the explanation of the phenomena of life. If man's concept of himself were different, everything in his world would be different. His concept of himself being what it is, Everything in his world must be as it is. Creation is finished. Creativeness is only a deeper receptiveness. For the entire contents of all time and all space, while experienced in a time sequence, actually coexist in an infinite and eternal now. In other words, all that you have ever been or ever will be, in fact, all that mankind ever was or ever will be, exists now. This is what is meant by creation. And the statement that creation is finished means nothing is ever to be created, it is only to be manifested. What is called creativeness is only becoming aware of what already is. And that was from The Power of Awareness, Neville Goddard. Well, Jesus said the kingdom of heaven is within you, and that gives you infinite possibilities of good to manifest in your experience. Once you become aware that they already exist within you and you own them. To manifest anything, you have to become it. And that involves faith and practice. Neville wrote, faith in God is measured by confidence in yourself. Self-concept, if I could talk, is a huge topic. And many things contribute to it. So I thought it would be a great topic of discussion today. So on that note, welcome, CA. Thanks for joining me today.
Well, thank you very much. And I was just finishing typing notes. I know it sounds kind of like a machine gun when I'm typing, so I always turn off my microphone because people go, what is that noise? Well, it's just the keyboard, you know. So, in fact, I'm going to finish one word.
Sure.
Got it. Very, very interesting topic, and I also think very timely, which everything is. I mean, just everything is so timely. But just kind of thinking through some of these ideas, I mean, you know, I know sometimes the bottom line is almost always the same, even though the way we get to it is a little bit different. But
right.
One of the things that occurred to me as you were talking is, in A Course in Miracles, which of course is my go-to spirituality, or the thing that, you know, I feel fortunate enough to have been introduced to, and it really works for me. I know it doesn't work for some people, but it really works for me. And there's a line, there's so many lines in A Course in Miracles that is, they're just like, boom, you know, they're just out there. One of them is, you're doing this to yourself. You're doing this to yourself. And just that, you know, in fact, I don't even remember exactly where that occurs, whether it's the text or where, because there's three books in A Course in Miracles. But, you know, all this stuff and all of this kind of rationalization, and then it just comes back, bottom line, you're doing this to yourself. Mm-hmm. That's all you need to know, guys. You're doing this to yourself. You know, so it's not exactly what Neville Goddard was saying, but it's like your belief that the only thing you can know, really, in a sense, is yourself. And like I said, it does come from a different way. In fact, some of the stuff I've been reading lately, you know, it's the kind of stuff I really can't share with people, because if you start talking that, just like even some of this stuff, people are going to go, what? Mm-hmm. What are you talking about? You're just mm-hmm. in denial. You're just like ignoring the physical universe. And it's like, yeah, because there's, you know how sometimes, Kelly, you get to something and it's like there really are no words to express it?
Yes.
I'm finding that more and more in my life, where I really can't express it. I can't put it into words because it's beyond words. Mm-hmm. And I wish I could share it on some word level, but the minute you put it into words, you're limiting its scope.
Yeah.
I mean, that's really what it has to do with. But that's, you know, and in fact, in A Course in Miracles too, you know, what it really comes down to many times is every single day, just opening your eyes and understanding, recognizing this is your opportunity to really know more about what your true nature is. You know, this is it. This is your lesson. So it's not about, ooh, got to get up, feed the dog, walk the dog, do this, do that. I mean, that's what we get tied into, all those things. And once again, that's why it's hard to talk about it, because I'm not saying to people, oh, you just ignore that. Don't get dressed today. Don't take a shower. Don't feed the dog. No,
yeah.
It's not about that. But recognizing that's not your purpose. That's not your purpose. And what your purpose is today is to take every single thing that comes or is in your consciousness or in your awareness and let it be that reflection to you of what's important, who you really are. Just, and once again, it goes back to being the observer. Just be the observer in your life. Mm-hmm. And the minute, you know, and I'd say the minute you start spinning, because that's usually me. You know, something happens and I'm like off and running, right?
Yep, yep.
And it's like, oh my God, where'd that come from? You know, where did that come from? And, or I don't want to think about that. That's in the past. And I don't want to go there anymore. Whatever it is. Mm-hmm. And just going, okay. CA, this is about spinning. So what's really going on for you right now? What's really going on? And in some ways, I can phrase it in terms that make sense. Like, once again, you believe that something outside yourself can make you happy or make you unhappy. And yet, I also recognize, and I would say this to our audience too, some of this stuff can be a little crazy making in terms of, like I said, we are living what we believe to be a human life in a material universe. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't do any good to ignore that or to deny that.
Oh, no, you can't.
No,
you can't.
But what we can do is find that way of, once again, just always bringing it back. How does a spiritual person, how does a spiritual being live in what feels like a physical universe? You know, what are the tools or how do we do it? So, you know, and I love the fact, in fact, what I was kind of thinking as you said, you were so involved in the books. You know, something that had occurred to me recently, and here again, you know, just kind of, I was spinning a little bit, but, you know, being surrounded by a lot of people who do things, like, you know, taking trips and doing all these incredible things, and it's almost like life has these limited days, and they've got a bucket list, and they just have to cross everything off.
Right.
Well, there's nothing wrong with that. There really isn't. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I thought, in my life, it's like if you said, what do you really want to do? I mean, what is one of your happiest moments or how do you want to spend your time other than doing my work, which I really, really love because mm-hmm. the astrology and the tarot and everything just really, mm-hmm. it's just so much. I just want to be with my books.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I just, almost every morning, this is how I start the day. You know, Tucker and I go outside and I get one of, usually it's a podcast rather than a book. I have a number of my spiritual books on, you know, on podcasts or yeah. on tapes. So I listen yeah. to them so that I can watch him, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And, but it's like, that's how I want to start my day. So if somebody said, oh, let's go to breakfast or let's go do this or let's go do that. It's like, I don't want to do anything. I just want to be with my books. And yet I think, how do you even, you know, it's like for a lot of people, I don't even know how you'd explain that to them, that if I could just have more opportunity to just be in this moment. And there are some what I consider masters, and some of them are even fiction books that, I mean, in fact, I'm rereading something for, I don't know, the 10th time. And the one of the characters, it's like, I just so resonate because it's the same kind of thing. I just want to be with the wisdom in these books. I want to be in this moment. I don't want to go off and do something. And like I said, I'm not putting down going and doing things. I'm just saying it's hard to explain to people because let's face it. They go, boy, is your life boring? But well, it was so resonating when you were saying that because it's the yeah. same way. It's like, ooh, I want to reread that, or I want that feeling of that spiritual master, or even like I said, even in that fictional book where that person captured something that is so important to me. I want mm-hmm. to be in that moment. And so, no, I don't know that I can explain to somebody why that's such an important part of my day. And I just want to be in that moment. So you ask me, what did you do today? It's not good. I mean, you know, it's going to be the typical stuff like feed the dog, walk the dog, whatever. Uh-huh. But I don't strive to be a doer so much anymore.
Yeah.
You know, because it doesn't carry oftentimes the same level of satisfaction.
Right.
You know?
I know exactly what you're saying.
And so I love that when you were saying that. I'm like, that's, yes, I love it. You know, just getting just getting involved. Because, I mean, it would be easy enough to go, oh, here she goes again on Neville Goddard. You know, haven't we heard this 1,000 times? And it's like, no, we can never hear it enough. We can never read it enough. We can never hear it enough. It's those reminders of who we are. And just that's it. Our consciousness cannot be divided. It looks like it's multiple forms. Mm-hmm. It looks like it is. And we can't deny that. That's what it looks like. Mm-hmm. But it's not.
No.
And I'd say one more thing, too. Accepting the fact, and this has always been hard for me. In fact, in A Course in Miracles, you know, it kind of comes right out and says, we know that you probably won't believe this. And or it can't make sense, because it can't make sense. You can't really understand oneness when you're in a physical body that is divided or separated from other physical bodies. How can we even get that idea of oneness? Everything in our physical universe tells us there's separation, there's borders, mm-hmm. there's boundaries. Mm-hmm. And I guess I didn't accept that. And now I'm just going, yeah. I think I'm getting closer to just understanding, yep, you can't understand it.
Mm-hmm.
You can't understand it, but it doesn't mean it's not true.
Right, right. Well, and that, it, you know, just that one consciousness, that, you know, the awareness, Neville says that that God is our awareness of being, you know, mm-hmm. just that consciousness that is the same in everything that is alive. You know, it's life, period. It's all the things that we have no control over, you know, in our own bodies. And yet we trust it. We don't go to sleep worrying about if we're going to stop breathing, you know, typically. So it's that. And it's also practicing that presence. I mean, touching that within yourself, you know, in a quiet moment, in meditation. I love meditation because that's what sets me right, so to speak. Mm-hmm. That's what gets me to the place of the observer. And neutrality is meditation, and that's just feeling that, you know, within me, feeling that presence. And it's a healing, you know, and that's how I get out of spins. That's the mm-hmm. only way I get out of spins. Mm-hmm. Turning it over, sacrificing them, you know, or surrendering them, and then getting quiet. And letting it just flow through and release from my system. But mm-hmm. but that, you know, that, you know, the statement, all that God is right here where we are right now. Each of us.
Yes.
You know, we're not pieces of it. We're it.
Right. We're it. Right. Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Even though we feel like a piece.
Yeah.
Like I said, everything right. around us says that there's a border. Says that there's a boundary, says that there's a separation. But in a sense, the world lies, you know? Like, I'm going to go back to your keys.
Sure.
And I've had several experiences like that where every part of my being says, this was not in this location. Mm-hmm. I dumped this drawer completely out. I went to the very bottom of this drawer, of this hamper, of whatever it was. I went to the very bottom, and this thing was not there. Mm-hmm. So why is it there now? And I don't have an explanation.
No.
I mean, I truly don't. And I kind of go along with the person or whoever it was that said to you, it wasn't there before. And now it is. And because in some cases, I do think it's kind of like we are blinded. We literally can't see it. For whatever reason, we are blinded. And it really was there. But in other situations, it has happened where, like I said, I have dumped the drawer, whatever it was, I have cleaned out the entire thing. I've gone to the bottom. I've taken everything out of the shelf. I've done every single conceivable thing I can think of, and it's not there. Mm-hmm. So why is it there, you know, a month later? I mean, am I walking in my sleep? You know?
Yeah. No, I mean, it's just, it was just the funniest thing. Because,
yeah.
I mean, and too, because, you know, that the mailbox key, I've had the only mailbox key for a couple of years. So therefore, I can't lose that key. You know what I mean? So it got extra attention, so to speak, because of that, right? I mean, it was just like, oh my gosh, what a riot.
Yep, and that's it. You know, I did have one experience, and this is slightly different, but it had such an impression on me because I was a teenager, and I went to some concert. I can't even remember what the concert was, you know, but I went to some concert, and it was probably one of the first concerts I'd ever gone to in my life. So you know how that is. You're just like ecstatic, and you know, oh, this is incredible. Well, I bought like one of the brochures or whatever, you know, at the concert and bring it home, and it's this beautiful, you know, colored paper book and all these pictures of these guys, and oh my god, it just, you know, I just want it. So I put it in my dresser, I put it in the drawer. Well, I don't know how long after that, it was gone. It's just gone. And so of course I accused all my sisters, where's my book, you know, and blah blah blah, you know. And I mean but I was obsessed with finding this, obsessed. So I moved the dresser, I pulled every single thing out of the drawer, and it wasn't there. I pulled every single thing out of the drawer behind, or, you know, below it, and it wasn't there. I mean, I made sure, completely moved the dresser, and it just wasn't there. But I will admit, it was one of those things, and like I said, I was probably 13, 14 years old, and I was just obsessed, and also very upset, because I just couldn't, I mean, it wouldn't make sense, actually, that one of my sisters or brothers had taken it. It just wouldn't make sense. And even if they did, they would have given it back by then.
Yeah.
6 months later, but I was obsessed. I dreamed about this multiple times. And I'd have a dream that it was underneath the dresser. So I'd get up in the morning and push the dresser out, and sure enough, it wasn't there. Mm-hmm. And so about 6 months after this happened, I have another dream. And in the dream, I can see it. It's not on the floor, it's behind the drawers. You know, like the frame of the dresser.
Yes.
It was behind. And so I, you know, I was kind of like, yeah, sure. How many times have I had a dream like this? You know, I've been through this. And, you know, why can't you just let this go, you know, and quit being obsessed? So I pulled two of the drawers out, and sure enough, it was just laying up against the back of the dresser.
Uh-huh.
And I was just like absolutely thrilled. But I remember thinking that was the mind just going, gotta be there, gotta be there, gotta be there. Where could it be? Now, some people might also call it intuition. I kind of just think my mind knew I put it in that drawer. My mind knew it just had to be there somewhere. But I found it. But in that case, like I said, it's a little bit different because it always probably was. It was there. It was always there. Whereas the keys and some of the other experiences, like what you described and a couple things that have happened to me, I'm just like, I really don't think they were there.
Yeah.
I don't know. Sure. You know, did the dog grab it and bring it back? I mean, you know, and there again, sometimes when you've got a dog, there are those situations. You know, they have stolen something and they've hidden it away, or they do bring it back. But no, in my situation, it was similar to that, like keys or something, where the heck did it go? Uh-huh. You know, and why did it all of a sudden reappear when it did?
Yeah.
And, you know, but this also goes to that idea. Sometimes we're just not going to know.
Yeah.
You know, we're just not going to know what the answer to that is.
Yeah.
And can we live with that? Can we just live with,
sure.
I don't know how, why, where?
I don't know how or why or where, but it was just kind of a funny thing, you know, and a funny thing to share. Because they weren't there. No, they weren't. I mean, it's just crazy because really it hadn't been that long ago, just a few months ago, that I went through the whole thing, reorganized it. I took out all of the linens and things for Passover and packed them away and gave them to Shannon's daughter. And just, you know, so I was going through and I thought, well, if I'm doing that, I'm just going to clear the whole thing, you know, just organize the whole thing. And so I know. And also that's a drawer. The drawer that I found them in is a drawer that I'm in a lot. Because like I said, it's got scissors, scotch tape, you know, packing tape. It's got the little sprinkler head things. I put them in there because it's easy to just pick one up and go out the door and replace it and my sprinklers. So it's got all that kind of practical stuff in it, plus the bags for the Vietnam vets. And so it's a drawer I'm in all the time. That's another reason why it made me just go, wow, interesting.
Well, yeah, and it kind of leads me to believe too, do we blind ourselves to something on purpose? I mean, do we literally can't see it? Like, even if somebody opened the door and said they're in there, would you just go, no, they're not?
Oh,
you know, I mean, is it some kind of a psychological, you know, just like, you know, you can't smell, you can't see, you can't hear, you know, and sometimes they say psychologically that can happen. Well, is that it? It's like, no, you're not going to see these keys at this moment. They're not going to be there for you. They're not going to be in your reality. And now they are.
Well, what I think, I don't know either. But what I think about them is that they've been like literally forgotten since Shannon replaced, you know, had the new door key made. And I just knew I had the only key to the mailbox. So they've been forgotten for a year and a half.
Right.
You know, so that's the reason why it was really crazy to see them show up in that little drawer.
Yeah. Well, and here's kind of just like an aside, but it strikes me as being similar. Recently, I've just, you know, I have, I don't know, maybe 30 decks of tarot cards. And I certainly have the ones that are my favorites. And I also have some oracle cards and that kind of thing. But, you know, just every once in a while, you like to shake things up. And so I had found myself really just really craving and wanting some new decks. So I bought a few decks, some good, not so, you know, some not so good. They're not going to replace my favorites. Let's put it that way.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, learning some new things. Because every single person, through their artwork, their interpretation, you know, you get a little something different, right? And that's that stretching yourself and learning, which to me is so exciting. I mean, I just want to see a different perspective on this card.
Uh-huh.
And yes, the card has had a meaning for, I don't know, thousands of years. And yet here's, this one is a little bit different. I get this, you know, and I love it. Well, but some of the, you know, that kind of opened up a craving, let's put it that way. But I'm still going to be somewhat discerning. I'm not going to just buy a whole bunch of decks. A lot of them just aren't that good, you know. And I have purchased the deck I really don't like. And so I'm probably going to mail it to the Shining Lotus and say, hey, you know, put this in your used decks or whatever. But in any case, I saw this deck online that is not a tarot deck, even though it said something about the person who had put it together maybe was a tarot person. But they said, this isn't a tarot deck. This is just something else. And so it's a deck of just places. And I don't even know how many cards there are. There's probably at least 78 cards. But each of the pictures, and there's words on each card, it's just a place. You know, like it could be a museum. It could be a park. It could be, it's just places. And like I said, I had, in a sense, no expectations. In fact, I sort of bought it because it looked like the artwork was really beautiful. Mm. And so I thought, you know what, I just want to see the artwork because I always appreciate, you know, the artwork or the photography. So I said, no expectations on this deck at all, you know. And so I opened them up, and what had been on my mind that day, I've been going back and forth and back and forth. You know, I usually go to Hawaii once a year in November, but I've really been debating not going this year. And so I'm just kind of on the precipice of, you know, go or, you know, you got to make a decision because you got to get the tickets, et cetera. Are you going to go? Are you not going to go? And just nothing was pushing me one way or the other. I just couldn't decide. So I open this deck and I shuffle the cards. And the first card that comes out says hotel. Hospitality. Traveler's Retreat. And I'm like, oh my God, because that's exactly what I feel about Hawaii. It's a retreat, you know?
Oh, it's your sanctuary place.
Yeah, so I just laughed and I thought, well, maybe these cards are a little bit better than I thought they'd be, you know? Well, because really I'm thinking, okay, what do you do with a deck of cards that's just places? But long story short, or short story long, I've been using them now for a week or so, and it's unbelievable how uncanny they are. I mean, I pulled, and truthfully, like yesterday's card was prison. And I thought, oh, great card, you know? And by the way, I didn't really look through the card, so I don't know all, you know, it's kind of a surprise when I pull out a new card every day.
Oh, but cool. Anyway, well, that's good.
Yeah, it was prison. And I thought, okay, this is where you go, I don't know about these cards, right? Mm-hmm. So I had done that first thing in the morning, and I said, but, you know, I'm just going to be true to myself and say, that's what I pulled, so I'm just going to put it on my desk. And so I get my coffee, and I go out into the yard, and, you know, I'm with my little dog having my wonderful day, and I put on A Course in Miracles podcast, and the first line is, you imagine yourself in a prison. And so once again, I just start laughing because I'm like, yeah. Oh, my God. And that whole section of the talk was about how we release ourselves from those ideas that somebody else, something else is holding us hostage and in prison. And so once again, I said, okay, thank you, life, or thank you, whatever, because that was the perfect card for the day. Mm-hmm. You know, oh, even though, fun. Like I said, boy, I sure wouldn't want to pull that and go, yeah, that's what I get to look forward to today, prison. But, you know, but the whole section, and by the way, if you had said to me, does the word prison even appear in A Course in Miracles? I might have told you no.
Ah.
You know, I mean, uh-huh. I might have gone, well, I can't think of a part of it that says that. Mm-hmm. But there it was. You know, and so the whole thing was talking about how we imagine ourselves imprisoned and that we're doing it. You're doing this to yourself. Mm-hmm. And so I'm saying this in light of, you know, whether it's a deck of cards or whether it's just you get up in the morning and you go, what is life going to show me today? You know, what do I get to learn today that's going to be of value to me? And it's going to be there. If you are open, if you are expectant, if you say, I really am one with everything, mm-hmm. and everything can be my teacher.
Exactly.
Everything can be an opportunity to channel, you know, love or whatever you want to, you know, or it can be an opportunity to channel your hate or your fear or whatever. Everything is. So it can be very targeted by saying, I'm going to use this deck of cards to reflect my consciousness, or it can just be that expectation. Mm-hmm. You know, everything is there. And we don't have to jump to conclusions about what they meant. Just like I was jumping with that prison thing, I wanted to pick another card, you know.
In fact, I think I might just burn that one and throw it away.
Yeah, really, I'm getting rid of that card. We don't need that card. You know, and that's kind of my history anyway. I mean, throughout, you know, using Tarot, I had to go through that whole process of saying, oh, well, this was the wrong card. The universe didn't understand what I was asking. And picking a card, you know, and it's like, no, life will pretty much show you what you need. And are you open? Are you open to the lesson of prison? Are you open to that? And it's like, yeah, if you can be open, life will show you incredible things. And, right. And, you know, don't have an expectation of what that meant. Just be open to it.
Well, and I think the other part of that, pardon my voice. Obviously,
okay,
I nailed a bunch of pollen or something on our walk today. And also, you know, what I was going to say, if I didn't just blow that right out of my head by coughing, is, you know, realize that I think nothing happens, nothing comes up in our experience that is not for us, mm-hmm. if we'll take a look, mm-hmm. you know, no matter what it is, no matter how uncomfortable it is, no matter how much we like it or dislike it. Now, if it's something we like, oh yeah, that was for me, that was great. But even if it's, or if it's just dull, you know, if you're bored, you know, you don't have anything that's lighting you up at the moment in a good way. That too, that little lull is for you, because there's just something to be gleaned out of every moment. There's nothing's a waste, and I don't think anything is an accident.
Yes.
If we look at it, and the question is, what do I believe? You know, if it's something that's really got you going or in a spin, it's like, what do I believe about this? What do I believe about this? Why does this have this effect on me? It's got to be because I believe something about it.
Mm-hmm.
And to just go on that kind of breadcrumb search for what that is, to take a few minutes, that's really valuable. Because you get to the bottom line, you see what it is, what the fear is or what the belief is, and then it disappears. Because it's not truth. It's just a belief. And then you're free.
Yes.
So it's every single thing is for us. Everything.
Yep. And sometimes you don't know what it's for in that moment.
Right.
But yep, you're going to figure it out.
Right. And again, if you just ask, you know, I don't know what this is. I don't know what this is about. I don't know what to do about it. But I turn it over. You know, that's when you surrender. And then later on you go, oh, you know, that's what that
that's
was.
That's why I needed that. Right.
Got it. You know, or I'll be doing something and then all of a sudden some little thing shows up that is exactly what I needed, you know, in the moment. And it just makes me smile. You know, it's like, thank you. That's a little kiss on the cheek from God.
Yes.
You know, something that just makes something better. You know, what mm-hmm. you're doing, you're enjoying what you're doing. And then here's like another little cherry on top of what you're
that's
enjoying.
Right.
And
that's
that is
right.
just, that's precious. And that is not accidental. It's just not.
No. No, it isn't. Mm-hmm. And you know, I was just checking the chat room because I recognized I hadn't done that. And Chris Diana said that she had a beading needle and she was terrified someone would find it in their foot, and she found it sticking in a chair. She said, plain as day, but it hadn't been there. You know, it was just, mm-hmm. now it's there. Mm-hmm. So thank you for sharing that story, Chris. And also Maureen is getting ready to go to Italy with her husband and friends. And she wanted to know if she could get a quick reading. And I know now it's gotten kind of late, but I'll tell you what bounced into my head, Maureen, as I was reading that, was that especially for today or those 3 days that you have left, just take care of business. Do you know, take care of everything that needs to be taken care of, be so that you can just go and relax and enjoy it. Don't let anything be hanging over your head. And specifically, the word legal kind of came into my mind. So what I'd say is, if there's any legal documentation, like, do you have to send in some paperwork? Do you have to sign some paperwork? Is there something, do you need to make a call to somebody, you know, like check in with a lawyer? If there's anything going on that needs to be taken care of or finalized or just checked into, do it, because then you're going to relax and you really are going to enjoy your trip. So that's the only thing that came into my head. I don't know, Kelly, if you want to say anything. We only have 5 minutes, I know.
Well, I just wanted to say exactly the same thing. Take what's in front of you. You know, what's in front of me right now, what I need to do right now, and do that. And then let the next thing show up. It's when you're getting ready to go someplace, or, you know, you can just be overwhelmed and pulled in a million different directions. And when you're distracted, nothing gets done. So, you know, just take a breath. What's the most important thing for me to do in this moment? And I agree completely with CA. Anything that's sitting on your head, anything that, you know, that might be taking up space in your space while you're gone and having vacation, take care of it now before you leave. Just take care of it, no matter what it is. It may be something really big that you can't completely take care of, but you can address it. But really and truly, just what comes as it comes, step by step, moment by moment. What am I called to do in this moment? And then the rest just follows, and you get in that flow, and you're not anxious, and you're just following along with it, and things get accomplished. That's it. That's like the best space in the world. So that's what I have to say. And I'm excited for you, Maureen. I know you're going to have a wonderful, wonderful time.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to live vicariously through that.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And, you know, one other thought I would have, Maureen, is because the word legal came into my head, I would also say, make sure you've got your documents. You know, don't leave it to the last minute and go, oh, yeah, I've got my passport. I know where this is. You know, just make sure you've got all those documents so that you don't have to worry about anything at the last minute, you know? Because every once in a while, I mean, I've heard of people who literally, I knew somebody recently, she had traveled, she had gotten on her first flight, I can't remember now where she was going, but she had gotten on the first flight, got to the destination, and they didn't like something on her passport or on her visa or whatever, and literally turned them away, and they had to come home. So just make sure all the, I know, when I heard that, and they had been looking forward to it, it was like a month somewhere, you know, in Europe or somewhere. And it was like, it was so depressing. It was just some little technicality. Wow. So make sure you've got that all in order, Maureen. Just do it. And then relax and have a good time. And I expect many wonderful stories when you come back.
Yeah, oh, it'll be great. It'll be great. Well, it's... I know we only have about 3 minutes left, but when I, like at the beginning of the year this year, I made a great big to-do list, you know, of things that I just needed to get done in the house and big things. And one of the things on the to-do list was to get a passport. My passport expired 20 years ago.
Oh my gosh.
And, you know, I just never... we got it when my brother lived in Britain, and my mom and my son and I went to London, and we just had a wonderful 10 days with them. And then a girlfriend and I went back to Dublin, to Ireland, about 10 years after that. And that was the last time I'd been anywhere out of the country. And through our whole marriage, Shannon and I would travel to different places for family things. You know, for bar and bat mitzvahs or Christmas here or, you know, somebody's graduation or whatever it was. But we never took a vacation by ourselves. We never took a vacation. And so I was thinking, you know, I just put that on the bottom of that list. And on the list was like, you know, get a guest room put together, you know, big things, the roof for the house, and just all kinds of big things that just needed to be done. That was kind of at the bottom of the list. And about 3 weeks ago, I went, I'm going to get my application together. And so I did. I've got an appointment at the post office to go get it approved and get my picture taken, and they send it off. But it was like, I need to do that, and I need to do it now, because I will have the opportunity to go someplace. I will.
Nice.
Yeah, because it's like my family are all beach and water lovers, and I am not. I am not. I want to go someplace where I can learn, where I can wander around, someplace old, someplace in Europe. My goal and my intention is to go to Slovenia, because that's where my family is from. Mm-hmm. And so... I found a catalog that I'd gotten in April that's Rhodes Scholar. Have you ever gotten one of those?
Uh-uh.
Travel all over the world with like-minded people who like to learn.
Oh, nice.
And it's like, oh, this has been sitting on my pile of magazines for months. So anyway, it feels really good. It feels like, oh yeah, of course. That's what I need to do right now. Like not a lot of energy behind it. You know what I mean? Anything. It's just
be prepared. Yeah.
Now's the time. Now's the time. So anyway, the show's over. Now's the time to end the show. So CA, thanks for being with me today. And what do you have going on real quick? I know we can take another minute or so.
Well, obviously I will spend as many hours as possible on Thursday on 12listen.com and as many hours in between as I can. So always, you know that a lot of times I am available, or I'll try to make myself available if you want to request a schedule call, but I will try to be there on Thursday for sure.
Good, good. I will too. And I already said that, so I don't need to repeat it again. But you've been listening to Empowerment. I'm Kelly Whetstone. My special guest today was C.A. Brooks for our September Meeting of the Minds. We're here on 1-2 Radio, where we're changing the way that we listen to the world. And I wish you all a very, very blessed week. And please stay tuned for Katie Weaver. Bye-bye.